Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the National Black Unity News Radio Show. Excited to be able to do this show today, and we're thankful for all that's taking place and transpired over the last couple of days. It's been a great return back to Baltimore, and just thankful for all that we've been able to do and all that we've been able to accomplish and get done. And we're waiting for Mr. Murphy to call in. As soon as he calls in, we will get this show up and running. And we just want to thank the listening audience out there, the 40,000 plus people that have tuned into a show here, our home-based business, 101, truly making this listener-supported radio. We thank you for your listening. We thank you for all that you have done to make this show and program a tremendous success. And what I want to do is remind people this show is brought to you by the Voitex. What is the Voitex? The Voitex is a free online consumer travel booking site that allows you, the consumer, to save 85% to 90% of the time where you're able to beat the price of Expedia, Priceline, Hotels.com, Cheap Tickets, basically all of the online booking sites. You're able to save 85% to 90% of the time you will beat their price. And you can go to myvortex365.com/MU Group, G-R-O-U-P. That's M, that's U, and that's G-R-O-U-P. It stands for the Movements Unlimited Travel Group. And so we wanted to get that information out there. We will share that link with you again later on in today's broadcast. What we want to do now is, I see Mr. Murphy has called in and has joined in on the call. And so we want to go ahead and bring him to the mic and get today's show started. And thank people for allowing us to be able to share some vital information with you today. And with that said, Mr. Murphy, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. And, great. You know, like I said, it's another day. You know, I'm still here, so there's still hope. So I appreciate living life, and I appreciate God for giving me life, and I appreciate this opportunity to be on the airwaves with you and your guests.
All right. I'm glad to have you on the airwaves, and we want to do is we want to kick this show off with our theme and our topic for the day, which is the black man finding his just due in this American social economic system that operates today here in America, and what is it that needs to be done to help empower the African American male, basically people of color, and allowing them to be able to accomplish all of their hopes, dreams, desires, and be able to have things for their families the same as other people in America are able to have things for their families. So we want to go ahead and kick off that dialogue and discussion. And what I want to do is open that up so that you can chime in. And what we want to do is we want to start it with one of the things that always interests me is when we look at what's taking place in society, where is the black man's place? And I remember I had a professor in college, and, you know, he gave that as a final exam question. He said, y'all can answer it in one sentence. You can answer it in two sentences. Or you can take a paragraph. He said, you can write an essay on it. The answer to his quote-unquote riddle was, where is the black man's place? Anywhere but on that white woman. Don't touch that white woman. White men have this quote-unquote fear about the black man's penis size, and the whole thing of once you go black, there ain't no coming back. So, you know, we just want to sort of kick that off in terms of just laying the background, because that explains why when black men were lynched, one of the things that they did was they would castrate them, cut off their testicles, and put them in jars of alcohol so that they could have them as a souvenir and a trophy to be able to say, see up there on that mantelpiece, grandson, see that? That's a jar of nigger nuts. And that's what you do to a nigger. You take and you protect our women by making sure that they don't touch them because they just too damn big. So, I mean, and I know that, you know, some people saying, wow, you know, you really getting stereotypical today. No, well, we're dealing with facts. These are facts why black men were hung and castrated. And so, you know, we want to touch on that some, and then go into some other subject matter concerning the issues that confront African-American males and their sojourn here in America. Well, Mr. Murphy, what is your feelings about this whole subject matter of the black man's place in America?
Well, I have a lot to say on that subject, but... you know, based on what you were saying, you know, I often tell people there's several sets of laws that man abides by. And one is man's laws, and then there's one called natural laws, and then there's godly laws. And we have to operate in all three. Most of us don't, but, you know, it would be wise to operate in all three. But on this physical plane, this man's laws, you know, based on that subject matter, yes, they did all sorts of, that was just one of the things that they did to us. They lynched us. I mean, they did all sorts of, they even had a thing called picnics, that's what the name comes from. They would have a lynching. And they would bring lunch, sit on the lawn, it was an outing. We gonna lynch a black man today, a nigger, as they would say. And they made a day out of it. It was out. It was an event, major event. I mean, they enjoyed it. Now, what kind of mindset is that? But that was the mindset of the time, that time, and there's still a mindset of this time. As you can see here in these United States, the mindset hasn't changed much. They just use different tactics. You know, they call it justified shooting now when a police officer, you know, all types of people had that same mindset, have joined those forces, the military, the police force, so they can do things legally under the name of the law. So they can kill you right in the street, right in front of your face, even though you took a picture of it, you videotaped it, and they dare you to do something about it. Yeah, we march in the streets, we do these certain things and stuff like that, but, you know, it makes some attention, but, you know, it's a time for this, it's a time for that. In our place, you know that's a heavy subject, but, you know, they say the truth will make you free, and just what you told people was the truth. A lot of people don't want to hear that. Like, you say, well, that's kind of gross, and, you know, why would you go there, and this, that, and this, that. But if you want to know the truth about the mindset of another group of people sometimes, then that's what has happened, and that's what's continued to happen. By any means necessary, groups of people will do anything what they call protecting their own. It just a little problem I have is because we have been disenfranchised here in the United States. I'm talking about the black man, have been misplaced. We have been put in a place under trying circumstances called slavery. And, you know, but before that, we was in our homeland. We was the kings and queens. We was the organizers. If you want to go from the beginning, we were the teachers. Civilizations came from us. People, you know, I'm just saying, you know, if they want to know the truth, but see, they don't want you to know the truth. You know, they want to take your history books here in this United States and tell you come from slavery. That's it. That's where you come from. And you beneath them. We gave you, listen to me very carefully, this is their mindset. We gave you Negroes a right to sit at the same table with us. We gave you the right to work for us. We even gave you, now we are some good people now. We gave you the right to even live in our neighborhoods now. If you have enough money and you act a little bit like us, your mindset has to be right to be near us, but we're giving you those rights. We even give you the persona that we want you to be equal with us. But look at the laws. Look at the policies that's being made. Look at so, you know, it contradicts a lot of things as they put on these books. But, you know, people, my people, people who looks like me, indigenous people, black people, African Americans, Negroes, whatever you call yourself. I believe, this is David Murphy speaking, I truly believe that God created men, all men equal. When I say those people, you know I'm speaking about myself. Because I'm a part of them and they are part of me. See, they came from us. And some people may have some difficulty with that, but because, you know, they say the first man on earth, you know, the first man, Adam, I don't know what you want to call him, but, you know, even during this scientific wisdom that we have today, they've dug up these bones and stuff. And the traits, the evidence is that the black man was here first. And so all everything comes from us. And look at the scientific effect of the melanin in our skin. We can produce all shades of people. We're the only people who can do that. So that's another scientific fact. And then getting to based on biblical Qurans, and what you would call these religious books, it all started, say, God created earth. God created the heavens and the earth and the filaments. And he said, and he did all of these things. And then he said, then he created man. Now, this man was just on earth by himself. You know, he didn't have a woman here yet. This is based on what the Bible, those books says. And they told, and God, the first thing God told man was subdue the earth, protect it. He said, make it grow. He said, multiply it. He said, make it grow, multiply it. And my interpretation of that, and I'm not giving the straight the word for word, you know, I'm not quoting word for word, but the first thing he told man to do was work. If you're going to make a long story short. And God put certain gifts into certain men. All of these things. And Brother Satavi started out saying, what is our place? Well, first thing you need to look for, if you don't know your place, you need to look within. Because there's hidden talent, there's gifts. If you haven't discovered them yet, I suggest you look within yourself. Stop looking out for outside resources to define you. Stop looking in books and all of these types of things to tell you who and what you are. Sometimes everything you need is within you. And if you dig deep enough, you will see evidence of the things that you like, the things that you like to do on earth, the things that you think about the most, the things that kind of gets you up in the morning, the things that you would do whether you get paid or not. Oftentimes, people, that's your gifts. It could be growing. It could be planting seeds. It can be farming. It could be laying bricks, building buildings. It could be scientific. You could be studying the stars. You could be engineer. I mean, you may have all of these type of things that's within you. You may be a teacher of teachers. You know, you could be all these things. All of them gets in. But if you nurture, just like he said, subdue and nurture it. If you nurture those gifts, and your gifts will make a way for you. And for instance, I can only use me as an example. I always had a love for my people, always, ever since childhood. But I always had a problem, though, because I couldn't identify when I was a young man, a little boy. I didn't see too many positive images of me. Only time I seen positive images was my family in the little neighborhood I lived in. But on the outside sources now, the media didn't display us unless we was being locked up. It was in a negative view. I didn't see us on television when I was a little boy. We didn't even have our own radio stations when I was a little boy, so I didn't see no images of me. I saw images of those folks. Our little girls played with white dolls. We emulated white cowboys to the Indians. You know, we just the whole mindset. They say if you change the mindset, you change the man. So they manipulate the mindset. And if you want to know our place, look within yourself. And if you look within yourself, you'll find your place. And your place will make a gift for you. And if you nurture those gifts, those talents, not only can it make a living for you, but you can be the best at it. You can bring something to the earth. You can help bring something to the table, bring something to the planet that no man could do but you. And so I believe our place is right where we are, right now. Here we are today, but tomorrow we may not be in this place, because I'm not in the same place I was last week or the week before that, 10 years ago. I'm always evolving, and so is man. In order to change our situation in this country, in order to even change the laws in this country, we have to change our mindset. And we have to know our place. And our place is no man is better than us. No man. Matter of fact, if anything should be said, they should look up to us, because we are the original. Back to you, Brother Satawi.
Yes, that's so important what you said. You know, we are the original. If we are the original, then we have no business imitating people, trying to become, as Dr. Karenga said, the culture children of the world, where we adopt everybody else's culture and outlook and make that a priority, where, you know, you have people that look like Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods say, I'll never forget, you know, he was being interviewed, and he said, you know, hey, I'm not one of y'all. I'm Asian, such and such, so and so, whatever, you know. Well, tell that to Ku Klux Klan in the middle of the night. You know, he sees you for what you are, you know, and in his mind, you a nigger. And I remember last night I listened to an interview where Oprah Winfrey was talking about, she was interviewing Dave Chappelle. And Dave Chappelle was talking about, you know, we had two types of vernaculars in terms of when we talk. He said, you know, there's the street talk that we have amongst ourselves. He says, and then there's the talk that we have when we're talking with or to white people, where we speak a little bit more proper, talk a certain kind of way. And she asked him, you know, well, what was one of the things that sort of kicked him off and peed him off, you know? And he said, because, you know, they're interviewing him, and it's a good interview. If you get a chance to watch it, people should watch it on YouTube. She interviews him. Why did you leave America, disappear, and walk away from $50 million and went to Africa? And she said, you had the number one show on Comedy Central. And you walked away from $50 million, which a lot of people would think, man, you know, that's a heck of a situation to be able to rise to that point And he said, well, a couple of things. He said one of the things was, he said, you know, this white guy laughed at him, you know, and she said, well, he laughed at you. She said, yeah. He said, yeah. And he said it was one of them kind of laughs where he wasn't laughing like he was laughing. He was sort of like laughing at me because we have like a third sense where we can pick up on when someone is mocking you and making fun of you and when someone is, you know, genuinely laughing with you. And he said that was one thing. And then she piggybacked on that, and she talked about when she did a show and what she was interviewing Ku Klux Klan and skinheads and these other people. She said, and then, you know, one of them, when she was doing the interview, one of them raised a fist and in a certain kind of tone. I don't remember how she said it. You know, he said that, hey guys, let's make sure we get one of them niggers, whatever. You know, she said she realized that as opposed to doing the show to expose them, that she was empowering them. And so, you know, so they talked about that in terms of the empowerment, empowering people with negative views, that have negative views and opinions about us, but giving them a platform of empowerment. And so, you know, the show was really, really good because, you know, like I said, when I watched it, you know, I do have some strong feelings about some of the things that Dave Chappelle used to do on his show. And he said part of going through that piece when he left and went to Africa, he said he left because he was feeling socially irresponsible for the content that he was putting on his show, and that he needed to take a time and reflect about that and think about what he was doing and how that was playing out in the modern day world and scheme of things in terms of empowering white supremacy. So, you know, yeah, so we have to be very, very careful about how we communicate, what we do. I mean, it takes me all the way back to the turn of the century. W.E.B. Du Bois, he wrote a book called The Soul of Black Folks. He talked about two warring souls embodied in a person. He said, you know, one is the one of trying to be an American, whatever the hell that's supposed to be, and the other of being an African. And this dual consciousness that we go through fighting, trying to find oneself and one's place. And so, you know, it's a deep, deep subject. And the deep thing about all of it is knowing whose we are and whose we are. And
yeah,
so,
yes,
you know that. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking what you said, you know, with Dave Chappelle. You know, now he had a major platform. And the comedy scripts he did, you know, he ridiculed black folks in a kind of, in a, some would say, in denoting way. But, you know, but at the same time, black people could identify what he was saying. And so, you know, it can be half full or half empty. But at the same time, I recall when I was just saying earlier that when I was a little boy, I didn't see any images of me, but I miskind of stepped there. There was some images out there, but they was never very positive. I remember we had cookie jars. they had mammies on them. And I remember some of the products that were sold. Like the, like I said, they had the pancake box, Uncle Ben's, and then they had this car, I mean, this little show. They had a few black people that I did see, but they had buckwheat. And then they had this gentleman by the name of Stephen Fletcher. He used to outrun, he walked so slow, but then when he got scared, he would outrun a horse or something, you know. Things like that, and then they had this guy Tarzan, who can beat up a whole tribe of black people, you know, at one time. You know what I mean? So, you know, these kind of things that I saw, you know, and when I said I didn't see, they wasn't images that I wanted to be. I couldn't identify with that. And so, and in Dave Chappelle's case, I can't imagine, because I know he was catching it from both ends. You know, for people who want to keep on portraying it, you know, and they were dangling the dollar in front of it. And I can guarantee you, not only was we watching the show, but the mother, in order for that show to beat, to reach that height, other people was looking at it. And unfortunately, when people, I'm going to tell you, see, I'm in the media. The power of the press, the power of media is a powerful tool. I mean, it's so powerful. It sways your mind. It sways your thinking. It sways your being. And so when these folks was watching these skits Dave Chappelle was putting on, that's the opinion that they formed of us. Even though it was a comedy strip, but that's the opinion. Now, if you were secluded in the Blue Hill Mountains or in one of them states where not too many of us are, you know, they don't see us that often, not around us that often. And every time you pick up a newspaper, we're being arrested or being ridiculed about this or that. Every time we're on television, we're being locked up, berated, the Oprah Winfrey, the Michael Jackson, the Michael Jordans, and whoever. Now, at the Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, I don't care how well you sing, dance, how well you play ball. From their perspective, none of us was no good based on the media betrayal or image of us. And so that's what, and they form their opinion about us. So they feel they so some of them have a real fear of us, based on the images that they see. And based on the, see, that's a subliminal message. That's propaganda. And they use, this country used the same thing Hitler done, and everybody else have done over the years. The people, see, people don't know, man. It's powerful things that's being done to us, not only in our foods, the air, our education, our communities, everything around us have undertones and overlays of discrimination, of hatred, separation. I'm better than you, and you lower than me kind of attitude sort of thing. And some people, just right now today, here we had this gentleman sitting up, well, I ain't going to call him that. That's too much disrespect to myself and everybody else. Their president, because that's what they did to Obama, or this president, as they used to say about him, sitting up there spewing all of this hatred out all around the world. And now he's a prime example of putting us in our place again. And you're speaking of places, so now these people feel empowered. And I'm talking about half the country. And no matter what this man does, no matter what this man say, no matter what this man do, and they know it's wrong. Their heart of hearts, they know he's dead wrong. But they are backing him because you know why? Because they feel the same way. They can identify with him. And it's a sad day to be here this 2018, and people... mindsets are still set up this way, but you know, but like I say, people would dig a little deeper and look at scientific facts. But then again, some people don't want to know the truth. Some people like to take advantage of other people. Some people like to feel superior, even though they know deep down in their hearts of hearts they're not. They like to put their feet down because when they're down, they feel imperial, you know, to people that, you know, because, you know, like I said, you got some poor white people out here they can be the poorest of poor people out there, but you know, when they get next to us, we can be the rich, most educated man in the world. And they feel as though, right there, you put them side by side, they feel as though they are superior to that brother right next to them who got all these other things going for them. That's the mindset of our folks. And it's a sad day. Now, I'm not, see, when I say those folks, other people, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not clumping everybody in one boat. You know, like I said, I'm an independent thinker. But when you take surveys and you can take a minority and or majority of people, and it's not what you say all the time, it's what you do. And you look at the action and reactions to certain people when they're near you. And it's just, like I say, we got work to do. And, you know, and so, and at this day and time, I'm speaking to my people right now. In this day and time, regardless of what another man, I'm talking about even your own people, regardless of what they feel or what they think of you, you are the only one of your kind. You may have black skin, but there never will or never has been anyone like you. They can clump you in a group and they can clump you in there, but you're still an individual. God made you specially the way you are. And you need to learn to embrace yourself. You need to look within yourself. And you'd be surprised at who you might find. And when the greatest gift that you can have is to know who you are, like you just finished saying, brother, to know who you are and whose you are. But you see, when you find out who you really are and what you are, no matter what another man or another group of people say about you, there's no contest, there's no argument, there's no negotiations. You know who you are. See, I know who I am. No matter what you may think of me, I know that I know. And I'm at peace with myself. I'm at peace with myself because I know who I am. But the only problem I had with David Murphy is that I don't use all my full capabilities. And I'm working on that as I speak. And because we are great people, like I said, there's so much within us that we can bring to the table, so many contributions we can bring to our families and our communities. All we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is look within. Stop going outside. Stop looking at all these things. It's good that you live in a world, but you have to look at all these things because that will separate you. You can look at that. You know, I'm a part of you and you are part of me. But like I say, all of our individual parts make us whole. And so, but you need to know your part. Do your part. Do you. Be you. Back to you, sir.
So powerful. Yes, sir. What you're saying is so powerful. Because when we don't understand our gifts and our talents, then, you know, we do not excel as well as we should excel. I mean, I remember, again, growing up, and my parents telling me, whose house I'm at right now, sitting out on their balcony doing this radio broadcast, to always tell me, son, I don't care what the mother people do. You want to compete with them, you got to be twice as good. You got to be twice as better. You can't do what they do. You can't try to get over like they get over. Is they able to do some of the things that they do? It's simply because, he said, they invented the system. And they make the system work for them. And so
right.
We need begin to have our own systems so that we can have systems that work for us. And I remember, again, like in Baltimore City, when Strong Sister, Jackie McClain, when she had set up a dummy payroll account for her sister to move $24,000. That was it. $24,000. She could have, her and her husband could have paid her sister out of their pocket as opposed to putting her sister on the city payroll for doing no work. And people said, well, all she tried to do was do like the white folk been doing. Yeah, but you're not white, so you can't do that. You can't cross that line. You know, you'd have been better off and cheaper off to just go ahead and outright pay her $24,000, since that's all the job that she, you know, that she received on the payroll. But, you know, they chose not to do that because they figured they could work the system and nobody would catch it. Well, it got caught. And that became part of her downfall because at the time when she did that, she was the controller for Baltimore City and was in line to become the first African-American mayor of Baltimore City. Very, very powerful sister, but didn't have all of her quote-unquote senses or line all of her things lined up to know that, hey, we can't do this, so let's just leave that alone. And it ultimately led to her having a nervous breakdown and prematurely dying because it took her into a tailspin that ultimately ended her life.
Yeah, and that's a shame. You know, I hear you, bro, because so many, especially here in Baltimore City, that had tried to be, you know, because they had arrived at a certain status in life, and because everybody around them were doing these certain things, and they thought that, you know, it was all right for them to do it as well. But, you know, like you said, there were two sets of rules. You know, you can't play the same game we play. Because, in other words, what they're saying, you're not one of us. So the rules don't apply to you. And
right.
And so, you know, so that just goes to show you now that if the sheets was uncovered and people dug into these other folks, man, almost everybody in government would be in jail right now. And but like I say, you know, we got people right here now. I just saw in the news today, and it burns me up every time I look at it. You know, it just cringes me how arrogant people are in this country. Now, we had a brother, man, just got out of jail just this weekend. They called him Dr. Dance. He was the superintendent of the Baltimore County school system. And because he did not report the money that he made with the government or whoever he's supposed to support, you know, put it on his sheets or something, he didn't steal it from them. He didn't rob them or he didn't report his. And this brother arose to such heights in the educational system. He never been to jail, never been on probation, and never none of this kind of stuff. He's squeaky clean. Made one mistake. One little glitch, and then the brother did the right thing. He resigned from his post. Now, with somebody else, they just stayed on that job too. They had to fire them folks before they leave their post. And the second thing they did, they would have got probation or a warning or something like that. But they sent this brother straight to jail. After all he did, and you got people sit out there that carry guns, and this, that, and the first time their first offense and stuff, get probation. Stuck up people, beat people half to death, and they get probation. But because this brother had arose to such heights, so he's a threat. We're going to make an example out of this uppity brother. We're going to send this brother to jail. We're going to let all the rest of you so-called think y'all have a ride type of people. You're going to play by our rules. You're going to dance to our beat. And if you don't, we got something for you. And so damn if you do, excuse my expression, and damn if you don't. Now, I can imagine what this brother is going to write a book, man. But I can imagine how he feels. He said, now, can you imagine? Just put yourself in his shoes for a moment. I did all of these things. I didn't steal that money. I did all that. I didn't report my money. And then they're going to sit after all the work I've done, all the blood, sweat, and tears I studied for, all them college years, everything I did, the right things. I didn't go out and party. I hit the books like I supposed to. I did all of these great things, and I made one mistake, and look where I'm at now, in jail. In jail. Now, you think little Johnny would have went to jail for what he did? Nowhere in the world. And guess what? And the sad part about it is that the mother laws that we were talking about is set up for them. But the sad part about it was there was not even an outcry from the black community. And see, justice, man, they say it's blind. Yeah, it is. But I'm just going to show you. See, until we learn as a people to empower ourselves, like you said before. See, they make laws to suit them. We have to make laws to suit us. We have to learn to empower ourselves. Me and Brother Satari, we kind of hung out a little bit yesterday. The first thing we went to was a thing called Black Men Unify and Black Men Breakfast. It was a small group of people there. It was the smallest I've ever seen since we started this thing. And I kind of figured that was due to the holidays because everybody, even myself, was supposed to be in North Carolina for a family reunion. So a lot of stuff was going on. But still, there was about 30, 40 brothers in there. And the brothers got up and spoke about all the things that they were doing. And then some of the brothers was complaining. They was complaining about, you know, with nobody supporting them. But yet they were all doing these wonderful and great things. Now, I have an opportunity to speak on it, too, because, like I said, I could say the same thing. You know, nobody's, but there are people who do support me. And there were people that if they didn't know that supported, because they wouldn't have been where they are, because ain't nobody else going to support them but us. There's very few businesses go out there to get supported by the larger community. Sometimes, we got to be grateful for, even for the small things that take place. But it still was in that nucleus of that room was some powerful brothers because, like I said, that's one of the most powerful things, the most fearful things that happens in this country when black men, and that's how we started this conversation, when black men come together and reason with one another, to share what we're doing with one another, network with one another. And see, even afterwards, brothers got together, they talked and was passing information. A couple of brothers came and said, "Yeah, brother, I'm definitely going to support your paper." And see, the larger group don't see these things. You know, we get in our little corners and say, you know, of course I understand the feeling, you know, we need, you know, our larger community need to pay more attention to us because we out there working for them. I understand that. But at the same time, things was happening. First of all, we were there together. And then after we left, you know, and so, you know, I'm just sharing this because things are happening. And then we left there, me and my brother Satai, we went to another little teeny small meeting, which they had this organization called Maryland Council of Elders. And these brothers were sitting around talking about putting on this event to bring more exposure to the black community. And even amongst themselves, you know, they had different ideologies about this and about that. But you know, as I went home that evening, I reflected on my day. And I thought about it. And you know, because I call myself and I believe in myself to be this, a servant of servants. And I say to myself almost every, how can I serve God first and serve my people second? And I say, well, you know, God bless me with ideas and tools to use because I nurture my craft. I worked on it for years and years and years. And some things, you know, may take some people to, but see, because I studied my craft, I became an expert in my craft. And I'm an expert in you, my people. I have solutions to our problems. But, you know, you can put things on paper, you can implement a program, you can shout it out to the mountaintop. But until people come sit down and reason with one another, nothing's going to take place. But nevertheless, that do not negate you or stop you from doing what you have to do, no matter what, whether somebody go with you or not. Your gifts are yours. Your concerns are yours. And if you expect somebody else from a larger community to come to your aid, or even sometimes your own family members may not come to your aid, it's up to you. So we have to change our mindsets. We have to go with or without. We have to make our gifts make a way for us. We just take the time. Now stop counting on other people to do for us what we have to do for ourselves. Because if we nurture our gifts, build our gifts become valuable. Our experiences become valuable. Then when they become valuable, you can put a price on it. And so, you know, nurture gifts. Stop waiting for people. So we spend so much time, wasted time, waiting for outside approval, outside resources. And I'm saying this now because when I speak to you, I'm speaking to myself. I preach to the choir. Is that God give us everything we need within. We need to start working on us and making our gifts so darn valuable that man can't help. I mean, be knocking down the doors to want to pay us. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, especially the black man, the black woman, and our place here in the United States, yeah, we right where God placed us at. No matter how we got here, but we are here at this particular moment, at this particular time. These 3 minutes that we just talked about, this 10 minutes ago, I'll never get those 10 minutes back. But that was valuable time. Valuable time for me, and it may be valuable time for you. And what I'm saying is this: you got people, and you're not out. You got people all around you who generally care about you. It's not all bad out there. You got a group of people, just like I said, I was in that room yesterday around a bunch of black men out there doing things. These weren't brothers sitting around, you know, fitting that these brothers was putting in work, as the young people say. But we just need to be organized, a little better organized, so we can take that power, that energy within the room, and turn it into synergy. And when you turn the synergy, you know, power, you know, other powers only respect other power, no matter what form, how big, how small it is. I tell you one thing, you get a big old elephant, and you get a little mouse and put them in one room. And if that elephant stomach feeding the mouse running away trying to get out of there, then, you know, the elephant feel empowered. I guarantee if that mouse comes, they start nipping on them little toes, whatever, that elephant going to respect that power. He's going to respect that mouse. He's going to move their feet out the way. Because they respect power. And that little mouse show no fear. That elephant going to have a little fear within him because he know he's going to bring something to get something. And that's what you have to do with yourself. You may think of yourself minute in this world system, but you are one of a kind. There's never nothing like you. You have power. Respect your power. Use your power. Nurture your power. And I guarantee you, you will start respecting yourself. And when you respect yourself, other people respect you as well. And when your community respects you, guess what else happens? The greater community is going to respect you as well. And when you got enough respectable people coming together who know who they are, have no fear about, don't even look for no outside resources to help us. We got everything we need. We can do all, we ain't got to talk about no Trump in that larger community. We take care of our own. We do our own. We did it before. We do it again. But we got to be a little wiser. You see what happened when we had Rosewood and places like that. You see what happened, Black Wall Street. You see what happened with the larger community. They showed fear. They had to destroy it. So we know that they would do that. So we had to be a little smarter. We had to be a little wiser when we do things. But in any case, brother, back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, very, very powerful information you just finished sharing. As we get ready to wind down for today's show, I want to again put in this commercial break for the Vortex. What is the Vortex? The Vortex is your own online travel booking site that allows you to save 85 to 90% of the time. 85 to 90% of the time, we can beat the price of Priceline, Orbitz, Expedia, all of the quote-unquote online booking sites that you did not know, other than listening to this program, that there is a price difference maker for online booking travel, and it's called a Vortex. And you can save money by using the Vortex. When you save money using the Vortex, you just go to myvortex365.com/MU Group, GROUP. And when you create a free account, it will enable you to save some consumer dollars on your car rentals, your hotel stays, all of your, we just had a person recently book a hotel in Jamaica for September 23rd. Through the 23rd through the 29th. And they'll be there, and they're able to save money on that booking, allowing them to be able to get a better price. And the whole bottom line about this is how to get more bang for your money, for your dollars. And yesterday, as David was saying, we was at a meeting. And at that meeting, there was a brother there with online online ordering toilet paper, freedompaper.com. Freedompaper.com. Let me make sure I got that right. Got his card in my wallet here. Make sure I give out the right link. I know he's going to be coming into the paper, but I want to make sure I got his information correct here. And that information again is yes, Freedom, F-R-E-D-O-M. FreedomPaperCompany.com, and you can buy from this website toilet paper, which you get more for your money, and also you're empowering the African American community by using the Freedom Paper Company's toilet paper. And that's their base product. They also have paper towels. They have paper that you can use for printing stuff out. They have a host of different products that one can purchase from their site. And so we want to encourage people, and they'll be I know the brother said he's going to get with you, David. And so I know that probably in our next issue that they'll probably have an ad or either a story in there about the Freedom Paper Company and what they offer and the services that they offer. But I wanted to give them a plug and a shout-out today because I was very, very impressed about the product and what they're offering people. We all have to use the bathroom and, quote-unquote, as we say, wipe our behinds. So why not empower another African-American company for every time that you wipe your behind by buying that toilet paper? You're putting money back into the global distribution and channel of dollar circulation within our community.
That's right. And the same thing with that. You know, like I say, I want to, you know, before we get off this air, I want to give a shout out to the National Black Unity News, where you will find the Vortex, Brother Jahi, and many other people similar to them who are doing wonderful works in our community. That's what this paper is all about. The National Black Unity News is a conglomeration of black business owners and services that have great services, and they're willing to share information that can enhance your quality of life. So I encourage you, and plus we bring out information for you and by you. And so it's all about us keeping that money circulating in our community, empowering our, you know, our people with information that's going to enhance their life, and at the same time keeping money circulating in our communities. See, this is a powerful hour here, not only with information, but we have services that can just help you not only make money but save money. And give you information that's not tainted by other people. But, ladies and gentlemen, again, I appreciate, you know, you being on these airways. I appreciate our host, Brother Jahi, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to be on the airways. If you need to get in touch with David Murphy or the National Black Unity News, I can be reached at 443-455-2373. Again, David Murphy, 443-455-2373. Brother Sataba, I appreciate you, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Back to you, sir.
All right, you're welcome, David. Hey, and I thank you for being on here and, you know, us doing this show together, and it's going to get better and better and better because there's only one direction to go, and that's to make it better.
So, that's right.
You know, I'm looking forward to many more days, many more broadcasts, and many more sharing of information. And, you know, we're so thankful that we're able to do this show, put information out there, and make sure that our people are informed and well-informed, because that's what the purpose of this show is all about, is to inform our people, empower our people, and make sure that they stay aware of all of the issues that affect them each and every day. So I want to thank you, brother, for being on the show today. And you have any closing comments?
Yes. I want you to chime back in next week. You know, because there's going to be, it's a lot of things that is brewing, it's going to happen, that's going to bring more empowerment to community, because we are, however you say, we're taking things to the next level now, with not only with this broadcast, but live networking events, social events, you know, because like I say, we going to the people. If the people won't come to us, well, we take it to you. And so not only through our news publications, through commercials, we have multimedia services here at the National Black Unity News. And keep in mind, our objective is to empower you. Help me to help you so that we can help ourselves. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir. All right. Close out one more time with a Vortex commercial. Make sure you go to www.myvortex365.com/MU Group, GROUP. There you will be able to book your cruises, your hotels, car rentals, resort stays, and save money. Be able to do all of that and come out saving some money also. You can't beat that with the lick of a stick. So just make sure you take advantage of that. And until next week, I want to thank you for tuning in today. And I'm going to say, Tu Tao Nana, which means till we meet again. God bless you. We thank you for tuning in and listening today. And may all of your travels be safe and all of your journeys be good. So until next time, God bless.